I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells.
About residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there.
And the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Support comes from Grady Health Foundation, presenting Move for Grady Saturday, April 27th, featuring a family-friendly bike ride through Atlanta's in-town neighborhoods. There's a ride, run, or walk distance for everyone, benefiting Grady Health System. More at moveforgrady.com.
For Tuesday, November the 23rd, 2021, it's The Brief from WABE. I'm Jim Burris. A Fulton County judge has set a key deadline in the trial of 22-year-old Robert Aaron Long. He's accused of killing eight people in March when he went on a shooting rampage at Atlanta area spas. Lily Oppenheimer has more.
Superior Court Judge Ural Glanville set a hearing date for April 19th for the defense to file any pretrial motions in the case. Robert Aaron Long has already pleaded guilty to four of the murders and been sentenced to life in prison in Cherokee County. Now, Fulton District Attorney Fonnie Willis is seeking the death penalty for the remaining victims in the city of Atlanta and a sentencing enhancement under Georgia's new hate crimes law. Long, who is white, drove some 30 miles between Young's Asian Massage in Acworth to Atlanta, where he shot three women at Gold Spa and one woman across the street at aromatherapy spa. Six of the eight killed were Asian women. The lone survivor of the attacks, Elcias Hernandez-Ortiz, told WABE from his hospital bed that he begged Long not to shoot him. Lily Oppenheimer, WABE News.
In the Ahmaud Arbery case, jury deliberations continue at this hour in Brunswick. The fate of three white men accused of killing Ahmaud Arbery in their hands. Closing arguments wrapped up this morning, and WABE's Lisa Hagan says the jury could deliberate for a half day on Thanksgiving and could even take those deliberations into the weekend. And Lisa's with us from Brunswick for an update. Lisa, welcome.
Hi, Jim.
So as the closing arguments today wrapped up, kind of what stuck out with you? What was the message to jurors?
Prosecutor Linda Dunikoski delivered a very forceful rebuttal. Some of the strongest language that she's really used, talking about the credibility of some of the witnesses from the defense, especially Travis McMichael himself, making the point that Travis McMichael has changed his story from day one. None of the McMichaels or Roddy Bryan used words like, you know, we were trying to effectuate a citizen's arrest that day in their first statements to police. Now, that's not legally required. They have formed a very compelling legal argument since acting rashly on the day in question.
I understand, too, there were some moments that really especially got to Ahmaud Arbery's mother.
I think this bothered more than Ahmaud's mother, but she did, in fact, leave the courtroom during defense attorney Laura Hogue's statement yesterday. She said basically over and over again that Ahmaud Arbery was, in fact, committing burglary on the occasions that he had stopped by the house under construction in Satilla Shores. And as she's describing that, she sort of chooses to describe Ahmaud's long legs and long, dirty toenails. And it was a moment that, like I said, I think more than just Ahmaud's mother heard and sort of felt was a line too far.
Any idea of the effect of those closing arguments when you think about, you know, situations like that, and then you think about what the prosecution said today? Do you think any of that is mind-changing, say, if you were a juror?
I think that for whoever wanted to hear a sympathetic argument for the McMichaels and Roddy Bryan, that was there, that was displayed. So if anyone finds those defendants' stories to be credible, I mean, we'll see some acquittals potentially.
There is a lot of talk that, especially for William Roddy Bryan, that a murder charge may be hard to stick on because of, you know, if you believe him, he was late to the scene, so to speak. He did not know, as he claims, that the McMichaels were armed and that he would even be part of this in the way that he was. Your sense of what the feeling is in Brunswick if one or all of the defendants is acquitted?
That's a good question. I don't think we've heard much from the family members about, you know, how would you feel if Roddy Bryan were to get off and maybe the McMichaels didn't. What I know is that the prosecutor's argument in this case has been that all three elements from all three of the defendants were necessary in order to get to the place where Ahmaud Arbery got shot. What that means is that without Roddy Bryant's truck sort of blocking the path and some say forcing Ahmaud Arbery into a ditch off of the road, without that, he wouldn't have turned back around and headed in the direction where Travis McMichael and his father were on.
Outside of the courtroom, Lisa, in Brunswick, what was the mood today as those arguments wrapped up and the case went to the jury?
I think the mood today was very quiet. I think there's a sense that everything that has been done, everything that could have been brought up has been brought up. And, you know, we asked Arbery's family about, you know, did they feel like the prosecutor did her best work today? And they felt confident that we're going to have a guilty verdict. We shall see.
We shall. WABE's Lisa Hagen in Brunswick for us. Lisa, thank you so much for the update.
Thanks, Jim.
Atlanta police say they are still searching for the man who accidentally set off his gun at a checkpoint at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport over the weekend. APD says 42-year-old Kenny Wells is charged with possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, discharge of that firearm, and reckless conduct. Police say the gun fired after Wells reached past the plexiglass divider to grab his bag from the inspection counter. One shot discharged. There were three reported injuries as people rushed out of the airport in chaos. A Lilburn Democrat plans to introduce a bill in the next session to require Georgia schools teach consent as part of sex education. State Representative Jasmine Clark hopes the measure reduces sexual assaults. If passed, the change would affect kindergarten through ninth grade public school students. The session starts on January the 10th. The new federal infrastructure bill will bring nearly $14 billion into the state, and that means agencies like the Atlanta Regional Commission are starting to plan. The commission's Doug Hooker says the extra money is a boost to some Metro Atlanta transportation projects that are already in the works.
We'll be able to accelerate some of those plans. Some key projects such as premium transit for Clayton County residents, expanding the streetcar in Atlanta, and also to provide greater transit services in critical corridors like Greenbrier Parkway, Campbellton Road.
Hooker says there is also funding to make streets safer for bikes and pedestrians. He says as the Atlanta region continues to grow, its transit infrastructure needs to also grow to keep up. Well, gas prices in Georgia dipped slightly over the last week in what could be a continued trend for the winter. Alex Helmick has more from price comparison app GasBuddy.
Global oil prices have dropped over the last week. GasBuddy says the dip has come as COVID cases worldwide start increasing. Supply over the winter should be more abundant than in recent weeks. In Atlanta, a gallon of regular unleaded is now $3.24 on average, down about 3 cents a gallon, according to GasBuddy, who says over the coming weeks and months, those prices could continue to drop 15 to 30 cents a gallon. But that could depend on whether oil-producing countries cut oil supply moving forward. Alex Helmick, WAB News.
And speaking of cut supplies, ongoing supply chain issues have prompted the Publix supermarket chain to put limits on some popular Thanksgiving staples. Items including canned cranberry sauce, pie filling, jarred gravy, cream cheese, and even bacon, well, those are limited to two per shopper. The Lakeland, Florida-based grocery operates nearly 1,300 stores across the Southeast. About 10% of those are right here in Metro Atlanta. And that's it for The Brief. You can find more local news at WABE.org. Lily Oppenheimer produced today's program. Our editor is Kathleen Quillian. I'm Jim Burris. Thanks for listening.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gold Dome Scramble podcast is now plugged in, a WABE politics podcast. New name, same in-depth, on-the-ground reporting from us, WABE politics reporters Sam Greenglass and Raul Bally. We'll cover local, state, and national politics as we go beyond the headlines with journalists, voters, and politicians. New episodes drop Fridays starting April 26th. Listen and subscribe at WABE.org or your favorite podcast platform.